text, the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, after the resurrection account, the last thing Jesus said before he ascended into heaven was this: all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Making disciples. A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus, somebody who wants to be like Jesus because they believe in him. We make disciples as Jesus told us to, by going, by baptizing, by teaching. This is what the church has been doing since that day. But this is why we give the Great Commission Fund. It's why we send our missionaries and pray for them, our international workers. It's why we're called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, a family of believers in the risen Christ who work together, who joined in his mission. Because though he left this earth and descended into heaven, he's coming back. And Jesus said this, which is really a driving force in the CMA. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The king comes back when we accomplish what he told us to do before he ascended, bringing back the king. Jesus invites us to be part of his mission, and not everyone who accepts that invitation will be missionaries or pastors, obviously, but they will play some part. And that leads us to this third invitation, and that is this. He invites us to what he's doing now, here, with us. The risen Christ is the hope of the world. Do you believe that today, folks? Because it's true. But how will the world come to see that? Well, part of it is what I just said about world missions, giving the Great Commission Fund, praying, and so forth. But what about right here in Huntington? How do we really help people see the resurrected Christ in us? As I said, not everybody's going to be a missionary, pastor, whatever, but Jesus invites everyone to what he's doing right where we are. That's different in different places, but he's always at work. He has a unique invitation for every group, every church, every community. And brothers and sisters, the risen Christ has been at work here in our church and has led me to a very clear belief. And not just me, but the leadership of the church and a bunch of people who have been at work leading up to today. We've come to see what he wants to do now and here with us. This is where we finally get to understand what this fishy stuff is all about. The posters, the inserts, the silly video clips. Here's what it is. It's not something new at all. It's something as old as the New Testament church, even older. It's something Jesus modeled, but something that many of us have not been involved in, at least not recently. And the fish is just the name that we're attaching to it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. That's what it's all about, okay? We believe God is leading us to grow in the area of small groups, all right? Cell groups, home groups, you can call them what you want. We're having way too much fun with the fish theme here, but it boils down to this fundamental truth, that a life connected leads to a life fulfilled. You see, our society has way more ways than ever that people can connect through gadgets and apps and all the tech, but ironically, it has left people more disconnected than ever. Because real biblical fellowship, relationship in the body of Christ, they don't happen just online, and they don't happen in rows, they happen in circles, okay? And frankly, we need that. There's lots of potential objections, lots of reasons why we think we're too busy, don't need this to meet with a small group of people on a regular basis. To live out the biblical one another's. And we can address all the reasons, all the objections, but fundamentally, I want you to understand this is biblical. Jesus had a small group of 12. And many of them were fishermen. So I'm going to claim even Jesus was part of a fish group, all right? Jesus started the whole fish group thing. I'm sure that the smell of fish was there when he would meet with them, his 12 guys. So you already know the answer to the what would Jesus do question. But I also want you to understand that as pastor of this church, I am 100% convinced this is what God wants to do here now in our church, to lead us to what he has for us. He has so much more for us people, much more. And I've mentioned in Psalm 133 some weeks ago, it talks about how God is able to pour out his blessing when the people come together in unity, in fellowship, in real connection. That sets the stage for God to really bless. It's been a process that started back in October. We've had a team working on planning details, putting a lot of time, thought, effort into how this could go for our church. And I'm really thankful to Kelly Rucker, to Bill Cousins, especially Phil Isett, myself. Together, we've been known as the COD Squad. And I know that's bad, but it gets better. They refer to me as the Holy Mackerel. Okay, it just goes on and on. Phil is going to come up. And he's going to share just some logistics that you should know at this point. But while he's coming up, you know, this might seem strange to you that we're turning a sermon into a promo for a program. But folks, this isn't a program. This wasn't my idea of what I think we should do here. In fact, this wasn't my idea at all. Actually, since I've been pastor here, we've attempted twice to initiate small groups, and it didn't take. And I'd frankly given up on it. But the way this happened, and I won't take time to tell the story, but please hear me. I believe this is a God thing or a COD thing. And I really believe this is what God wants to do in our church. And so this is his invitation to good things for each of us individually and together as a church. So Phil, come on up and fill us in further.
Well, good morning again. FISH, Fellowship in Seekers Homes. And I'm really finally excited to share with you all the details about fish groups. And right now, the ushers are distributing a two-sided flyer. And if you can pass them down your row quickly, that would be extremely helpful. Let me first start by saying that the purpose of fish groups can be summed up in one single word, and that is connection. For many of us, our lives become so busy, our schedules become so full that we have kind of forced ourselves to prioritize our lives, to privatize our lives in such a way that we unintentionally cut ourselves off from other people just to cope with the day-to-day busyness. How often have you heard someone in a conversation or even yourself say, "It's been a while, we should get together sometime. We need to catch up soon. Boy, how long has it been since we last talked?" Fish groups are intentional opportunities for our church family to connect on a routine basis. Now, connect to do what? Three things, and I'm now referring to the side of the flyer that has fish groups at the very, very top. These groups will routinely get together to study, pray, and break bread. Now, when we're talking about study, this is not just learning about the Christian life. It's discovering how do we do this? Because the Christian life isn't easy. It doesn't come to us naturally. And so I think it's very clear to all of us that God raises questions. God's word causes us to think in ways that challenges us. Life itself brings its own set of challenges. And so during the study time, it's intended to work through those questions. It's to work through those challenges and to fight through those together. Also, the groups are going to provide an opportunity to share life needs, life victories, and to pray together. And the breaking bread is just what you hope for. It is an opportunity to snack on a little fish food and to socialize with one another. And all three of these activities are part of a single shared experience that we're calling fellowship, hence fellowship in Seekers Homes. Now, we're going to offer three fish group options. First is the message-based group. And this is a group where participants discuss the previous Sunday's sermon, and there's going to be facilitated questions to help guide that discussion. The second type of group is a topic-based group, And participants are going to cover a book or a video series over several weeks. And then the final option we have is the Book of the Bible-based group, or what we're calling for short, the Bob-based group. And participants focus on a specific book of the Bible or perhaps a series of books like the Gospels. 12 participants in a group meeting on a weekly basis for 90 minutes. Now, if you turn the flyer over to the other side, I'm going to cover the information briefly on there as well. So we are going to be launching our fish groups in a series of waves, and wave one is going to be starting the week of April the 22nd, and this inaugural wave is going to have three groups. Two of those groups are going to be message-based groups, one being led by Pastor James and Nancy, and also by Chris and Barb Fisher. And I understand these are nice people, so you might be interested in that group. The third group is a topic-based group, and I'm going to be leading that group. It's going to be over a period of 6 weeks. The topic is going to be called Live to Serve. We're going to be using a film. We are going to be using a book. And if you like history, if you love inspirational stories, I think this may be a group that you want to be a part of. So if you want to have additional information about both the Live to Serve topic-based group and the message-based group, we're going to have some additional flyers that will be available to you after the service. Now, if you would like to be part of a fish group, even if it's not one of these three, but maybe at some point you would like to be, we would love to hear from you. And there's two ways that you can sign up for a fish group. The first way is in the lobby after the service and also in the foreseeable future. And today we're just going to have one sign-up area there, and we have one other sign-up area right here back by the door that's going to go out to the side parking lot. And you're going to be asked for some basic contact information. You're also going to be asked, what type of group or groups are you interested in? The message-based, the topic-based, or the Book of the Bible-based? You can pick more than one. And also, you're going to be asked, how do you want to be involved? Do you want to be a participant only? Do you perhaps want to be a host location? Or perhaps you want to be a facilitator? And there, too, you can check more than one. So, for example, let's say that you want to be a participant for right now, but maybe someday you might entertain the idea of being a host location. Check both of those boxes. Now, so again, that's one way to sign up is here in the church. The second way is online. And all you need to do is enter www.tiny, that's appropriate for small groups, tiny.cc/fishgroups, no spaces. And when you put that into your web browser, then you can fill out a very brief sign-up form. Now, in fact, if you get email on your phone and your email address is part of our church database right now, check your inbox, because you should have an email there. And there's also a submit request form button that you can click. And right now, in your pew, you can sign up to be part of fish groups. Now, after you sign up, a member of the COD squad, they'll be getting in touch with you and following up with you as far as your participation. Now, if you have any questions about fish groups, you're going to notice on the back of that flyer, there's a list of 16 names. And these are folks that we're calling our fish group sponsors. And they know all the logistics of how the program works, and they really believe in this ministry. But I should also add, there's another reason why many of the folks on that list would be an excellent contact for you. And I know Pastor James is going to share that in a little bit. After the service, some of our sponsors who are here today and can stick around, they're going to be here to answer questions. You might say, Phil, I don't even know these folks on this list. If that is the case, they are going to be wearing a Fishing for Information, Ask Me badge. So if you don't know the people on the list, that's how you can identify them and also have their first names as well, so you'll be able to connect. Now, before I turn things back over to Pastor James, I want to address two groups that I believe that are in this sanctuary today or perhaps listening online to this message in the future, and these are two groups that I can identify with. To my fellow introverts, these are folks who find small social settings to be a little uncomfortable, to be sometimes exhausting, where you don't want to share stuff about yourself, where you don't want to read scripture out loud, you don't want to pray out loud, you don't want to answer questions. I want to make sure that you understand that our goal is never make you feel ever socially uncomfortable. Now, I use the word socially because from time to time, God might challenge you a little bit. You might feel spiritually uncomfortable. But as far as what's happening within the fish group in terms of the facilitators, They are never going to intentionally put you in a situation where you're going to feel like a fish out of water, where you're ever going to feel uncomfortable. Now, second, to my fellow non-biblical scholars, folks who can't just rattle off scripture, who don't understand the deep concepts of the Bible, if you think that your lack of biblical knowledge is the reason why you can't join a fish group, please don't feel that way. Because fish groups are not intended to be showcases for theologians. They are intentional opportunities simply to connect. And we have passionately come to the belief that a connected life leads to a fulfilled life. A life connected leads to a life fulfilled, where any one of us, regardless of what's happened in our past, regardless of what's happening to us right now, any one of us can find a life of personal peace and powerful purpose when we connect to the love of a perfect God within a community of imperfect people.
All right, thank you, Phil. And let me assure you, the puns, the fish puns will keep coming. So please, I hope you'll sign up. If not today, you can think about it. But ask questions. And again, I know there are schedules, there are logistics, but we can figure all of that out. The important thing is, what God always asks of us is faith, right? And I'm asking you today to believe in what God can do when we really connect in this biblical way, in fish groups that we are planning. And yes, people are flawed, it will get messy, it's unpredictable, but I believe God is in it. Maybe you don't even like people. That's okay, Phil doesn't like people, you know? And he's involved. I'm just teasing Phil. Also, 11 of our 16 sponsors, the people going to have those stickers on, 11 of them, including Phil and Nancy and I, were part of a pilot group that met throughout February and March. And we have all really been blessed just in those several weeks by the connection, by the depth that we got in connecting and sharing our lives and praying for each other and just enjoying each other's company. And so... That is going to be contagious through the congregation. This is how I know God is in it. So I ask you to think about the scriptures, the example of the New Testament church, where they met as a large group in the temple courts, but then in small groups in people's homes. And it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So sign up. At least pray, consider being part of a group to believe in what God is doing and wants to do, can do through this. And I haven't been able to get away from this claim of a prominent pastor and author when he said, "You cannot know God apart from community." That's something to wrestle with before you dismiss it. I can tell you about all the research that shows small groups are a central part of healthy churches. I can give you a history lesson about how they've always been a part of the church since Jesus gathered those 12 friends for a small group. I could tell you stories of churches in Europe and Asia and Africa and South America, how small groups are the main way they see people coming to faith in Christ, how believers care for one another, how so many of the calls of Scripture are fulfilled. And I can say this too. The biggest thing I can point to that God used to change me from a Sunday-only Christian who really wasn't getting it to a person who really began to go deeper, to care about Scripture and what God has to say. In other words, what really woke me up spiritually, a small group that I was a part of in high school was really central to that. God has a lot he wants to do through these fish groups. And so, for now, I simply say this, you are invited. You are invited to be part of what Jesus is doing now, here, among us. Again, let's be honest. Sometimes there are those invitations that we may not want to receive. Some of them might just be kind of weird. But the invitation that Christ brings us today, they're so good, so real, so deep. Let's take him up on those invitations to know him, the resurrected Christ, to believe in him and his resurrection power, to join his mission. There's nothing else that will make a greater difference in our world, and to join what he's doing here now with us. And consider being involved, being a part of the group. You won't regret it. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's go to prayer.